It was working earlier, but it's not now. So we'll proceed on. This will probably be the last of the series of the Sermon on the Mount for now. Beginning next Sunday, be hanging of the greens. I want to begin looking at some Christmas series of messages on Christ coming to this earth as a babe, and all of the activities and all the people involved in Jesus' birth at that time, and how it affected the world and today as well. But today we want to look continually in Matthew chapter 7, and our title is Building on the Right Foundation, taken from verses 24 through 27. You probably have read these verses before, and maybe have heard sermons in the past on these particular verses. But we need to be reminded of what Jesus' emphasis is on these passages of scriptures. He talks about the solid rock. He talks about the sand that we should not build upon. Jesus is the rock. He's the cornerstone that we are to build our lives on. So this morning I want us to focus on what Jesus is referring to as having a good foundation or the right foundation. And he was reminding the people of that day, and as it relates to us as well, there's a lot of false prophets in this world. And we need to be able to distinguish the truth from the bad, the evil things that we're confronted with in this world. You know, Satan has to twist words to make them sound right, like he did in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And so we need to be able to pinpoint and recognize false prophets, are those who do not tell the truth when it comes to anything in society or biblical teachings. So let's begin with where'd Alvin go? Alvin is still my right-hand man here. He keeps us on track. There we go. Am I doing something wrong here? Come on, come on. Okay, let's begin with verse 24. The two foundations that and building on right foundation. Says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. In verse 25. And when the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And then verse 26. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And it wasn't just a small fall. It, with great was its fall. So there we see what Jesus is talking about, the foundation. He just finished with the narrow and wide gates and the tree and its fruits. And now he's focusing on the two foundations, which is very appropriate at this part of the Sermon on the Mount. So when we see building on the right foundation in our passage today, Jesus warns, as other passages, and I mentioned a while ago about false prophets, telling us that those who need this message or their message are unwise. and building their lives on an eternal hope on unstable foundations. And that's what Jesus is referring to. As you remember, like the three little pigs, I think I shared a few sermons ago about how they built, started with straw and then sticks, and then the wise one built with bricks and so forth. Those who listen to those false prophets will be devoured by those lying, ravenous wolves. And so, not to mention the false prophets will be destroyed at the end as well. Now, if you have ever read the three little pigs, then you know that the wolf dies in the end too, right? He does. So, moving on in our message today, let us begin with the saved hear and obey Jesus' commands. The ones who know the truth will be saved, and they obey God's commands. And that's in verses 24 and 25. Now, to set the scene for this particular message, what Jesus is referring to in here, and we have to look at the environment and the setting of what Jesus is referring to, and the people in Judea and in Jerusalem and that surrounded area, when Jesus talked about the rock and the sand, and of course it's in that area, it's very sandy and so forth. So he was referring to the rocks, the bedrock of going down deep till you find, getting through the sand and finding something solid. And Jesus said, you're looking at the solid rock right here. I am the rock. I am your cornerstone. So if you will obey my commands and build upon me, your life, the truth, then you will be saved. Now, so in Judea, the rains will sometimes fall in great, fast, moving, producing rivers, and all kind of devastation, which sweeps away the soil and the rocks, the hills, and the houses, which are built on brick only, dry up in the sand, which there are whole villages in that east. Literally, they melt away before the rains and the flash floods by those sudden rains and so forth. And Jesus was referring to this, and they knew about this as well. So Jesus said that the wise man built his house on the rock. And this could have been an elevated rock plateau, what Jesus was referring to. And then in Luke, he makes a clarification of this as well in chapter 6, verse 48, where he says, he is like a man building a house who dug deep. And that's what I was saying. You got to get down into the bedrock through the sand, deep down into the soil. And then Luke was referring to this. Luke caught on to what Jesus was saying. And Matthew alludes to it. Luke and the other disciples who wrote in the Gospels. But you got to dig deep. And lay a foundation on that rock, which Jesus is referring to. Now, I was thinking about here in America, if you are on the beach or out in the desert, you're going to dig down to the bedrock before laying a foundation, as the soil is more stable, you know. In this area, different areas of our nation, you got to dig deep, and some has rocks right there on the surface and so forth. It's stable. But in Judea, even on ordinary sites, one that was not down in some of the washes, you would need to dig down to the bedrock, which was several feet. patched a sandy soil, so the foundation needed to be laid on the bedrock of the house that they was going to build through the sand. Now, in verse 21, going back to verse 21, which I didn't read, Jesus said that the one who will enter the kingdom is a person who does the will of the Heavenly Father. And I was talking about that obedience a few minutes ago. And in verse 24, he tells us the kind of person that is. And here, the one who does the will of the Father hears these sayings of mine, and he does them. He does them. And that's why I was talking about the saved hear, and the saved will obey. And when we hear what Jesus says, we are expected to respond to his obedience and do it. So what he says, this is what it means to build on the rock of the foundation of Jesus Christ. To do what we hear and then we obey. Now, how do we hear Jesus' sayings today? When you picture Jesus sitting on the mount, on the hillside, speaking and sharing with these people, visibly, personally, and everything, they see Jesus and they hear him. Today, how do we hear Jesus' saying? Well, we hear them by reading the Bible. Just like we are right now, and through the week, as you do your devotions from the Bible or from any devotional book or something like that, but you always want to use the Bible as your main text. And any devotion that goes alongside that, that teaches us and explains to the Scriptures, is good. So We hear them by reading the Bible, and when we read the Bible and practice what we read, we have to do that. It shows that we love the Lord, and it also shows that we belong to him. For example, when we were young, and we can all go back when we were young, being raised up by our parents and so forth, and being disciplined in certain ways, and we as kids, we probably said things and did things that we know that we shouldn't have, and our moms and dad would remind us of that. But for example, when we were young, maybe we would say to our mother, and I know you have, and our dads as well, but especially to our mother, I love you, right? We would tell them that. And perhaps she would sometimes smile and say, fine words can never, I wish you would show a little more in the way that you behave. Have you ever heard that? Mom or dad ever say that to you? And it's been said, fine words can never be a substitute for fine deeds. You probably heard that before. And there is only one proof of love, and that proof is obedience. Exactly what Jesus is talking about. If we love the Lord, we will do our best to be obedient in our deeds. And therefore, there is no point in saying that we love a person and then do things which break the person's heart. Now, so often we confess God with our lips, right? And deny him with our lives. And there's a saying, faith without practice is a contradiction in terms, and love without obedience is impossibility. Now, with that said, let's move on to the second part. And let's talk about the lost hear and forsake Jesus' commands in verses 26 through 27. So in these verses here, Jesus speaks of the ones who hear and does not do or obey the commands of Jesus. And this is someone who professes Christ and knows what Jesus teaches, but is like the one who received God's word in a shallow heart, as we read about in the parable of the sower. Now, talking about good soil, shallow soil, rocky soil, sandy soil, but the right soil. Now, which is in Matthew 13, chapters, verses 3 through 9. A false profession is only last until the judgment comes. And one of these days, we're all given an answer. We're all given an account of what we say, what we do, what we profess in Christ Jesus. Jesus only knows if our profession of faith in Him is genuine. And that's what Jesus is talking about. And He was saying, many will say, Lord, Lord, did I cast out demons? Did I not prophesy in Your name? And then He would say, I never knew you, because you didn't know me personally and you did not obey my words. So a false profession will only last until judgment comes and we all stand before Him. And sometimes this judgment presents itself in trials in our life. So many people have professed faith in Christ only to deny their faith when life becomes spiritually costly or difficult. If you remember when I talked about last week about taking the broad way versus the straight and narrow way, the straight and narrow way can be difficult for us, can it? It can. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. But the judgment illustrated here probably refers to the final judgment before God. And we will one of these days stand. The whole world will stand before Jesus in the final day of judgment. So why do some people hear and know what Jesus teaches but refuses to do His will? There's a lot of illustrations and examples in the scriptures. Remember the 12 disciples? Those who were really, really close to Jesus. John leaned upon Jesus, didn't want to miss a word that he said. Others were there seated with Jesus, even taking the supper with Jesus. And yet, they looked like they was with Jesus. They was supporting Jesus and took every word seriously that Jesus taught. But down in their heart, they really didn't believe Jesus was who He said He was, that being Judas. So Jesus refers to a lot of different examples of people who really, truly believed and trusted Him and obeyed Him. But those who Jesus knew their hearts, He rebuked them because of their disbelief. Now, in verse 26, the number of people referring to obey the Lord is numerous as the sands of the sea. And one day when they stand on the shores of eternity, that's what Jesus is referring to, they will be washed away as the grains of the sand. How many of you have ever, you've been to the beach and you know, it's gorgeous to stand out on the beach and see the sand and see looking up and down the beach, and everybody's building sandcastles and all kind of structures and so forth. It might look great and fine. I've seen some beautiful artwork and so forth. People put hours and hours. But you know, in the morning when that tide comes back in, what happens? And like Jesus talked, don't build on sand, because it's going to wash away. It's going to just dissolve. It's going to diminish. And that's what people is talking about, the sands of the sea. And one day when they stand on the shore of eternity, they will be washed away like the grains of sand. And all their works done in the name of the Lord, but not sanctioned by God, or not sanctioned by the Lord, will come crashing down in a great fall, as Jesus said in verse 26. Now, to summarize all of this in the short time that we have this morning, amen, there's a lot of great information in these scriptures here. But to summarize this passage, the Lord will illustrating one main point. As I was thinking, what is the main point? What are we looking for here? You know, sometimes I'll spend maybe 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours trying to discern, Lord, what is this scripture saying? Just on one little scripture or a little phrase, one word sometimes, it catches my attention. And what's the main point here? And this is what I think, that our profession of faith will ultimately be tested before God, if it hadn't already. In your life, your profession of faith will be ultimately be tested before God. It'll be tested among society, before men in this world, and where does it stand? But what it really amounts to and what really counts is what is how we stand ultimately and as we are tested before God one of these days. And those who have trusted in Christ and have proved their faith by their obedience to His teachings will have nothing to fear. You know down deep inside, in your heart, that you have professed Jesus Christ, and He is not only Savior, but He is Lord of all. That's what it really means. And their house, or your house, is their hope, your hope of heaven. And it's founded on the rock, Jesus Christ. And as a result, their hope, or our hope, and salvation will stand. It will stand not only now, but through eternity. But those who have professed to trust in Him and what Jesus is talking about here and have not obeyed commands will be condemned. You know, it might look good, it might sound good, but in the end, we may not know, but the Lord knows who is truly His. So our eternal hope begins with our profession of faith in Jesus Christ, which means profession must be accompanied by genuine belief. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. After with the lips we confess, with the heart we believe unto salvation, according to verse 10. And verse 13 says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, and when it comes to that point in our lives and we're being truly convicted by the Holy Spirit and we humble and contrite spirit and accept that we're sinners in this world, come short of God's glory, then we will be saved. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. You're not building your life upon the sand, but you're building your life upon the rock. He is the rock. He's a firm foundation. You know, there's songs about the solid rock we stand on. Our faith is built upon the solid rock. That's the only rock we are to build our life on. So building on the right foundation really matters in this life. And when we build it on this life, then we have eternity to look forward to with the solid rock, Jesus Christ. He is our cornerstone. Let us pray. Our Father God, thank you for the message today. And may we read and reread these scriptures. May everybody that's heard these words today go home, take these scriptures, and read them over and over. So sometimes I've got to read them several times, and sometimes I've got to spend minutes and hours trying to know. And I want to know for sure. And I want to know specifically what they mean for myself, in order that I might relate these passages of scriptures to others, and these sitting here this morning. I'm accountable for that, Lord. We're all accountable to you when we profess Jesus Christ as our Savior. You know our hearts. You know what we believe. You know our obedience. You know everything about us. Lord, when we confess you as our Lord and Savior and believe in our heart, Lord, we know that you forgive us of our sins. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we have it. Thank you that we can read it. And may we spend time, more time. And when we don't feel like praying, when we don't feel like reading the Bible, that's when we need to do it the most. And I pray every one of us this season will get into the Gospels and read about Jesus, your Son, who came into this world as a child, a babe. But he didn't stay that way. He grew up just like all of us do. And he matured in stature, but he matured in righteousness and holiness. Perfect example of the Heavenly Father who sent him and has always existed from the very beginning of the foundations of this world. Lord, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. May we honor him in our lives with true obedience. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.